Laurie Abogado here on the coast, on the Costa del Sol. It's Antonio Flores from Lawbird Legal Services. Good afternoon, Antonio. How are you?
Good afternoon, Dave. Very well, thanks. Yourself?
Yeah, not bad. How are you getting on with all this staying in phase zero malarkey? What do you think of that?
Well, it's just another week, you know. It's not the end of the world. So,
yeah, we're used to it now. Yeah, that's right. If anybody wants to join in and ask any questions of Antonio about the law in Spain at the moment, anything that's cropping up, then we'll try and cover that. But you want to talk about this ERTE, it's called, isn't it? Which is a Spanish scheme. It's to kind of help people and to kind of pay a wage, I think, or some sort of money for them during this period.
That's correct, yeah. And, you know, Dave, I was very happy to hear that you were not in ERTE because you actually called me today. So
yeah, exactly, yeah. No. It was just really, from a UK perspective, I had a friend of mine with the church, and I said, look, would you come on and do like a Bible study online for me? And he said, I can't because I'm on furlough. So he can't do anything that he would usually do because of that. And is that the same here in Spain?
Yeah, it's the same. I mean, the furlough in the UK would be the equivalent of the ERTE in Spain. Okay, these ERTE schemes are... effectively allow employers to lay off or suspend temporarily workers in crisis situations. Now, this can be for the full duration of a job, or it could be also done on shift basis, you know, so part-time, for example, okay?
Yeah.
So the issue why I'm bringing this up today is because the way the Spanish government has offered these two options to tens of thousands of companies could end up once again backfiring on these companies. In other words, it could be full of nasty surprises in the way of fines.
Right. Oh, okay.
And the reason is the choice of ERTE. There's two types of ERTE. One of them, which is called the force majeure, which is the one where you are forced to close down. For example, you know, restaurants, bars, pubs, any shop that is. In the street, you know, any street shop, which is not a supermarket. So we're talking pretty much, you know...
Like your clothing shops or whatever, yeah.
Well, all the entertainment industry, all the tourism industry, airlines and so on.
Yeah.
These companies have the right to fire one of these editors. But then you've got the other one, which is more based on productive causes, which is based on the fact that you can't have the same number of clients because they can't travel. The problem is a lot of companies who can still work have been applying for the one which, or the ERTE, which is not supposed to be for them. And this is a loophole the government has inadvertently allowed companies to use because they've got this five-day period where if you file and they don't say anything, it's acceptable.
Yeah.
Problem is 6 months down the line, they can come back and say, okay, we want to review your ERTE, the one you filed and for which we paid... you know, 50,000 euros of salaries and social security on your behalf, you know. So they will do a full revision. And if they find that you've cheated the government, they will then come back with fines and will make you pay back all the money they paid for your employees, all the social securities, fines, surcharges, and you name it.
So this is crazy. I mean, people haven't got a, you know, it's unprecedented times. People don't really know what they're doing and mistakes will be made.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, it's for instance, say, real estate agents, you know. I'm aware that a lot of real estate agents have been filing force majeure ERTEs, okay, because what they claim is that because people can't travel, then they can't do business, they don't have any clients. Well, that's part true, and I'm not going to say that's not true. It is true because it's the same with law firms. But the reality is that they can still do business, they can still list properties, they can still do online, you know, sort of marketing, speak to clients, prepare things for when everything's over. They can do it remotely. They don't have to go to their offices. But then those offices that are not necessarily on street level, they can still operate. So this is what the government doesn't consider it to be a force majeure. The fact that you are, you know, you have an obstacle to work normally, but you've not been shut down as such.
You can't make much money, though. I mean,
it's true. But, you know, the ERTE force majeure is effectively like we would say an act of God. So you know, in the UK, you just cannot do any business because you know where you had a pub, you can't sell drinks. Okay, that's the basis.
Well, the question that arises, Antonio, is this: when phase one arrives, and it has arrived for quite a few of our listeners on the Costa Blanca in different places, but when phase one arrives, and restaurants are able to open to a degree, 50% on the terrace. If they decide to close and stay closed because of it just not making financial sense to open until they're able to have a bit more clients in, what are their rights at that moment?
Well, I mean, these, you know, depending on which phase they're in, they'll be able to open with a certain degree of, you know, of capacity. The terraces will be up to 50%, I think it is. So they won't be allowed, you know, or they should be preventing people from massing out, you know, in groups to have drinks. Yeah. So there's going to be some obligations.
But because they're able to open, does that mean they're not able to claim any benefits for that?
Well, exactly. The fact that they're opening, then they will be able to then to, you know, well, obviously trade as normal, but in terms of what they'll be getting from the government, there is a situation where the moment they open up, because the ETA is, you know, well, the situation of force majeure is up, then they'll have a situation where the workers need to go back to work because, you know, the situation of the closing down has passed. Now, the government imposed a strict order on any company applying for one of these furloughs. Schemes, they could not dismiss anyone within 6 months. So that's going to be another problem because already, you know, business associations have said that if they do that, they are, these companies lost.
Yeah, just going to go to the wall, yeah.
They will not be able to pay the salaries of the people who they laid off initially. So it's going to be very interesting to see how things evolve. I mean, it's very important that everyone keeps their jobs, but I think it's more important that the companies that are managing, you know, to have some people working for them, yeah, they don't go bust, because in that case there'll be no jobs for anyone.
And especially those that are maybe, let's just say, certain bars and restaurants aimed at the British tourists coming over, or maybe the German tourists coming over, they're really not going to be making a lot of money at all.
I mean, you think about all these pubs and bars, but you might think about restaurants, you know, restaurants who may have up to 10, 15 waiters.
Yeah.
Those are going to be in a much more difficult situation because they're going to be only catering for initially Spanish tourists. And depending on which area, you know, you talk about, there's very few Spanish tourists. It's mostly foreign now.
Yeah. And I think maybe the Costa del Sol has a lot of foreign tourists, but not so many. Well, I know it does have quite a few Spanish that come, but then there's certain resorts in Spain where the Spanish go in greater numbers. So I don't really know what the statistics are. So it's a bit of a minefield, isn't it? And people and companies could find themselves with a hefty fine to pay later on.
Yeah, yes. I mean, the question here is to, you know, because employment law is can be very, very tricky. And, you know, even employment lawyers, which, you know, is a specialised part of the law, and they're not used to these sort of situations, you know, because an ERTE, a furlough scheme for first force majeure, which is when you are forced to close, really only happens when your shop, for example, has caught fire, or you've been able to close for, you know, a very serious issue which is completely out of your control. So very few cases people get to see, or lawyers get to see.
Yeah.
So the experience is very limited, and it's worrying that if a government, as they promised, when they actually say, we promise that we will be looking into these cases, and we will not leave one of them without supervision, without exhaustive examination. But you think that a lot of people who may have just made a mistake through, you know, just wrong choice of redundancy scheme, They could be fined to an extent that they could even have to close down just on the basis of that fine. So it's just Spanish bureaucracy for you, you know.
And it's a socialist government.
Of course. Well, socialist communist.
It's an interesting point that that usually, you know, in situations like this, that people, and again, I know the UK has got a lot of questions to answer government as well. So I'm not about to start singing their praises, but it's interesting to see the money that's available here, and rightly so, because the companies have not closed through their own choice. They've had to close because the government has told them to close.
Yeah.
So then the government's first priority is to look after the people.
You know, they've been blowing hot and cold. They initially went completely all out to protect employees, and they said that they would be checking on any company that misuses these redundancy schemes, and there will be, as I say, exhaustively examining whether there is merit in them. But, you know, 2 days later, they realise that there's just nobody walking around the street, so there's no business for anyone, okay?
Yeah.
So then they start to sort of pull back a bit, and they say, okay, we'll give some concessions to companies, and we'll be a bit more flexible, and so on and so forth. And all of these mixed messages, you know, end up being a complete disaster for companies, because they just don't know which way to go. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of companies are going to be struggling a lot, if not disappearing. A lot of them will disappear.
Yeah.
The ones that are stronger, the ones with a good bit of a cash, fine. But the last thing we need is a government that is going to be chasing after companies that may have made the wrong choice of redundancy scheme. Now, we've been looking at that for a little while, and we've been checking with other law firms, real estate agencies, various companies down here that have been choosing which redundancy scheme, and they're all in the same situation, bit of a pickle. Which one do we go for? We couldn't even advise them, because we're not really experts in this kind of law, but we use specialized people. But
yeah.
It does make you think. You know, the Spanish bureaucratic system. It's just a creature that can end up devouring a company just on the basis of a wrong decision. And I'm just a Spanish person telling you, and someone who knows about Spanish law. So we do hope there will be some kind of understanding, and then they'll just go easy on companies. We need to be opened ASAP.
No, see, I'm a pretty confident sort of person, but even I have, with some of the rules, because I just can't, and we are trying to keep on top of it as best we can at Talk Radio Europe, because we're communicating that to people. And even I will sometimes think, you know, I better ring Giles, find out if I can actually go out in the car at this particular moment, because it's just changing all the time. So it's, it really is quite phenomenal. We're going to get to the callers. Good afternoon, you're live on TRE. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon. Sharon Ali County.
Hi, Sharon.
Hello, good afternoon. Weren't the PP in power for quite a number of years? Could they have not reduced the bureaucracy? And I'm amazed that the PP did not introduce an easier autonomous system whereby people didn't have to pay 200 or 300 euros a month. And I didn't see the PP doing very much about employment, other than sack people and put people on the streets and make them hungry. So I really don't see how complain about this.
I think basically, Sharon.
Yes.
I think basically they're all as bad as each other.
Yes, they are.
Whatever side of the political side you go on, they're all as, once they get into power, that's it.
Yeah, and I'm listening to lots of phone-ins to LBC and Talk Radio 5, and the furlough scheme has got just as many grey areas, and employers that won't toe the line and making people go back without providing PPEs and all sorts of things. And I just think, I used to listen to Antonio and really used to enjoy listening to you talking about the law. Now you're coming on and it's sounding like a political broadcast every time you come in, and it's such a shame, because you're a brilliant lawyer, I'm sure, and you used to come on with some really useful information. So
it still does, Sharon.
But
thank you for your call. Yes, Antonio, you're still very valid. You could level that, but I think in this situation, what you're saying is, let's just put the politics to one side. Whoever's in power at the moment, this situation is unprecedented, and people are making mistakes. And I think they just need to be let off the hook a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, totally. You know, I mean, it's in the interest of anyone, any government in power to keep companies going. You know, we're not against one or the other government. We are in favour of governments that enable people to get jobs, not the other way around. Now, if this is going to make it more difficult for companies, then, you know, we don't really want to get into a political debate. It's not really our field. We could go on for years and years about this.
Exactly.
But it's more about the specific problem which furlough schemes can amount to. You know, those problems can escalate in companies to become real deal breakers. In that, you know, they will end up causing a fundamental financial problem.
Yeah, I think, Antonio, it's fair to say, isn't it? Let's just say like this: that whoever's in power, whether it's Psoe, whether it's PP or regional governments, whoever it may be. I've been here 11 years in Spain, and I've been looking at Spain for quite a few more years before that. And I've been here with a PP government, with a PSOE government, Zapatero, and with Aznar, and all of them really haven't done much to get rid of the bureaucracy in Spain. And all the Spanish people seem to moan about it from whatever political background you're from. And it's always been there.
So it's part of the Spanish society. I mean, you've got to change it gradually. It's improving. It's improving, but we still have a long way to go. And, you know, just making it as easy as possible for companies, because at the end of the day, the companies who provide, you know, jobs for people.
What are you hearing on the ground, Antonio? I mean, you're in touch with people who own companies. Are they worried at the moment?
Well, they are concerned, first of all, for their workers, you know, the people who work, we've been working with them for years. And, you know, I mean, don't forget, you know, there's been, you know, sort of ups and downs in the market. But, you know, since 2008, we've kind of been on a steady growth.
Yeah.
There's been a bit of doubts recently, but this was completely unprecedented. So
absolutely,
it becomes a human thing at the end of the day. It becomes more of a personal failure, you know, on the part of many employers that just have to ask their employees, their friends, to go home. You know, they summon them to sit down around the table and say, "You got to go home. I just can't pay you anymore." And it's really sad. And you know, it makes no difference who is in power, whether greens or reds or left or right. It's completely irrelevant. It's just a discussion that doesn't really come into this. This is about just being able to start, you know, to work again and to allow people to come in again. And it'll debate. It's a debate we'll probably have in a year's time whether the government implemented the laws that were right, you know, considering the seriousness of the disease, whether it was worth it.
Yeah, exactly. Antonio, in the meantime, while we're still trying to work it all out, if anybody wants to get in touch with you, how can they do so?
They can call us on 952-861890, or they can email us on info@lawbird.com.
Oh, we've got a quick caller just coming on. I'm going to take this one quickly. Good afternoon, live on TRE. Hello.
Hello there. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
My name is Patrick. Yeah. How are you? I'm enjoying your program there, Antonio, especially.
Go on. Yeah, thank you.
My name is Patrick Merle. I'm from down here in the Costa. And I did hear you mentioned there about confusion and what have you, and that seems to be prevalent everywhere. You know, old folks are not allowed on the ALSA bus anymore. Their passes, they can't be used. And people, simple view is this, people are totally frustrated with what they're hearing from experts, because experts come on even your program and they say, in my opinion, and I think, and maybe. So you've got to disqualify these people immediately. And the only thing I can think of, to be quite honest, if you look, and if there's a living God who knows, in the first book of Corinthians, it says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. And then he goes on, this is St. Paul long ago, and he says, for the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom. And I think this is a wonderful time for people, if they have any sort of faith, is to proclaim their faith in Christ and see that only peace and liberty and freedom comes in our Maker.
Thank you for that. I didn't pay you to do that either, did I? And me being a pastor, of course. but thanks for coming on, my friend. I really appreciate it this afternoon.
Thanks for your input.
Thank you.
All right, well, God bless everybody.
God bless you as well.
I hope they'll turn to Christ. God bless.
Thank you very much. Okay, Antonio, thank you for coming on as always. And we'll be chatting in the not too distant future and trying to make sense of it all.
Excellent.
Thank you, Antonio. Cheers.
My pleasure. You take care.